You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There are any number of things, Stugatz, that I have become ill-equipped to talk about, have not talked about well around here in recent years, and most recently, something that everyone is talking about today. A lot of people who care about art, entertainment, beef. A lot of people are talking today about Kendrick Lamar producing a 19-minute rebuttal, 19 minutes of music directed at Drake. And I and this show have done this poorly, so I'm not going to do it today with us. I'm going to do it with Peter Rosenberg, who has some credentials here, and he can talk about it. And if you're interested in the beef stuff, it'll all be over there, where a real expert is joining us, somebody with real hip-hop credentials, a knowledge of the history of hip-hop, and he'll be on with us in a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you before we went any further.
Yep.
Billy is somebody who, in the shadows, does things. Yes, this Billy.
Doesn't sound like me so far.
Shadows?
This Billy works in the shadows nefariously to create quiet problems for others that bemuse him.
Falsehoods?
Okay. I want to smoke you out here, though. You say falsehoods, but I really do want to air a bit of company business here. Usually I don't go this far behind the curtain. You are, in disguise, one of the great anarchists in the history of entertainment. You do things all the time that have escaped my vision and knowledge over the last 20 years, just running around in the shadows, lighting fuses, and then running away, cackling, laughing at home when the joke is...
Billy Gill.
Well, you tell me...
Not if, Corbin. All right. There's two Billies.
No, there. Yes.
We
there,
get confused sometimes.
Well,
Don't get me started on the other one.
The other Billy causes a great deal
of... Francis Suarez showed up on a Zoom. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
The other Billy does good work in Miami protecting us from corruption. He is also an agent of chaos, but he does his agent of chaos for good. You do it for good entertainment and in service of your character, one of the most beloved around here because he's an anarchist. But this is where I want to see if I have you pinned on something. And I'd like to show the people, because you do a very good job of disguising it, whether you indeed are trying to make Taylor's life more miserable than it presently is today.
Whoa.
Taylor works for us. He took a 28-hour train to New York.
I had nothing to do with that.
Right, but he is suffering right now. And I heard you and Stugatz whispering, and it felt to me like you were trying to make Taylor's life worse. There were pieces of an idea here that I heard that seemed like it would make Taylor's life a lot worse, and you were doing it in the shadows, and I'd like to smoke it out a little bit so that everybody can see what, while yelling falsehoods, what you and Stugatz were up to.
Maybe tell me what this is, because I don't know what we're talking about here.
So it was my idea. Me and Billy, we were whispering about it. I think we should send Taylor to Philadelphia now. And then potentially back home to New York for Game 7 on Saturday. Taylor can't come home until the Knicks win.
Love it.
Yeah. Yes, he cannot come home until
That's
the Knicks win. And Game 7, Dan, would be a game for Taylor's job.
Yeah. Well, not for his job. Just if he's in New York for Game 7 and they don't win, he has to stay in New York until they win another game.
Wait, can I volunteer for that?
Is this a punishment? He didn't have a place to shower yesterday.
Yeah, what was that about?
We don't know if he didn't have a place to stay.
Well, he told me he was going to sleep in the office. I'm like, I don't know if that's allowed.
I told him to go to Blarney Stone.
Imagine John Skipper strolling into the office at, you know, 7 whatever on the dot, and he comes in and he's kind of twirling his keys around because he opens up the front door and he walks in, and then Taylor is on like a couch or something there.
I do believe I see a young man sleeping here.
The New York office does have a weird pile of those like dude wipe things in the bathroom.
Really?
Like way too many of them though.
Wow.
Like I wonder why.
Like in a corner?
In the bathroom. Like there's so many.
Hello, young Taylor.
Weird.
Are we doing this with Taylor? Because I would love for Taylor to be the reason the Knicks don't win the series.
Hello, Tahir.
That's what I'm going for. I mean,
please get me some sound of foghorn leghorn because you are no longer doing a
I do declare.
You are not doing I do me a favor, okay? You're not doing a John Skipper. You are doing a foghorn leghorn, and I want to get – am I wrong about this, Roy?
No, you are absolutely correct. He does sound like foghorn leghorn.
So is Taylor going to Philadelphia or not?
Right.
Well, I want to talk about this for a second.
Let's
because
make it happen.
What are you doing on WFAT? We need promotional – we need to show the people that program director Stu Gatz has hijinks and live stuff that he had planned and ideas. And here you're doing the radio bit of basically publicly ransacking Taylor's life by
right.
not letting him come home.
By sending him to playoff games.
And I mean, but putting his job on the line at the end. Like – raising the gambling to such a high stakes that you're now putting his career on the line as the last bet for your amusement. Like, Taylor isn't a human being. He's someone whose life you
could
play
with. Hold on a second. There's plenty of journalists traveling and following this series. If anything, I would argue this is a golden opportunity for Taylor to follow around the team that he cares about the most and cover a playoff series. Home, road. Roy does all kinds of things to do this with the Panthers.
This is not a punishment for Taylor. He would love this.
Again,
the train was weird. Thank you, by the way, to Amtrak if they did anything
and game
sponsorship
time.
Wise. But yeah, no, thank
game
you to GameTime
did all the sponsorships.
Yeah, so, the idea of the train very inefficient. And
so
I looked up ticket prices.
Right, but now it's a quick train down to Philly. If they lose that game, back to New York. Those are like an hour train ride. Like he'll be fine. But damn, what I'm trying to do is give the Knicks fans a reason if they lose this series, and their reason is going to be Taylor because when he started showing up, they started losing.
I don't think that in the last 10 minutes of what we've talked about, when Billy said falsehoods to what I was saying, I don't think that people understand that we now have to do what it is you guys are talking about, which is put Taylor's job on the line.
No, not his job.
No, wait.
He'll still do whatever
hiatus.
He does.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
It's from New York.
Just remotely. He's going to have to.
Billy?
Right.
Billy.
So we have an office up there. Just That's fine. He has to be there. You still have to pay rent down here. Mm-hmm.
Billy,
you can't enjoy your apartment.
The thing about the idea that you and Stu Gatz were talking about.
Good one.
The only thing that makes it radio hijinks the way Stu Gatz would do it as program director of WFAT is if you put the kid's job on the line as a bet. I heard you guys talking about. No, let's send him to playoff games.
Game for his job.
It's not his job. He just can't come home. That's bad enough.
Well, he can't do his job.
He's still
employed elsewhere.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Now you're going to make him a correspondent? You're going to promote him for...
No, there's an office up there. You can go plug in. I'm sure there's a corner cubicle he can hit up or something.
I don't think this idea is going to work because Taylor just texted me that he refuses to go to another game in person.
Well, that's not how it works.
And also, he signed up for class pass yesterday so he could go to a gym just to use the shower.
Huh.
I don't understand why he's not staying somewhere. I don't understand why.
Game Time didn't sponsor that part, I guess.
Yeah. Times are tight, Dan.
Jesus.
It's hard to live in Miami.
Yeah.
Get him a room.
I mean, that does. Yes,
plane mid-flight,
sure. Agreed,
that.
Stu Gatz. Yes, agreed. That's what. Yes, thank you, Stu Gatz. Yes, get him a room. Like, what? Yes. Thank you for not helping me at all. Like, I'm asking the question,
job.
Like, why doesn't he have some place to stay?
How about this? If he goes to Philadelphia, we'll look into a room.
We should get him a room.
In Philadelphia?
We're doing it.
We should get him, and his job is on the line.
No.
Sponsored by Stu Gatz and Billy.
I like that.
No room and job not on the line? How about that?
Even worse.
Okay.
Dan wants to up the stakes, man. And he's right.
I want this to be a game that we can watch together and care about. I want these games to matter. I want them to have stakes.
I mean, they do matter. It's a playoff game.
No, but I'm saying to WFAT, we've got a new standard around here, a new identity around here, and I want people to care the way Stugatz wants them to care today when they're making 12 shares for Sal at WFAN.
I got to tell you, a 12 share would be an embarrassment today, Dan. It would be. If you're not putting up a 30 share today, man, 25-54, you are not doing the right show. And by not doing the right show, you're talking too much. Just take calls. Let them do the work for you.
It's the last.
Let Sal and the Bronx do it for you. That's all I'm saying. I mean, that's it.
I'm telling you that the thing that burns today in New York, it is something from a bygone time. Sports radio, the flame of sports radio that rises up today. Stugatz lights up radiant. Stugatz is living today a higher form of life because people in New York are making calls about their teams.
Sports radio is alive and well today.
What Stugatz is today, even as he's a heartbroken Knicks fan, he's like, oh, the content, endless rivers of content for days. You just open up the phone lines and people who love sports and hate sports just spit acid into the sea.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training. Just in time for summer and warmer days, spring's the best time of the year to take a new look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Challenge yourself. And Peloton's classes were made just for that, to challenge you. There's a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve what you already excel in. Plus, if you don't know which class to take to reach your fitness goals, guess what? You can join one of Peloton's many programs. Right now, I'm in a strength program with Andy and a core program with Emma. Their expert coaches like Andy and Emma and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. With Peloton, you don't need to worry about driving to the gym, making it to class on time. You can do it all from the comfort of your own home whenever it fits your busy schedule. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Lebatard.
And he was doing all kind of wild stuff. When he threw the ball off the glass to himself and yammed it, I was like, wow, that's crazy. You're on perks.
Stugatz.
You know what I mean? That allegedly.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I get some help from the people in the other room outside here to keep Stugatz out for a second while we talk about him, because I don't want him to be able to interrupt what it is that we're experiencing right now. Stugatz is crazy today. I'm introducing the shipping container. I don't know if you guys, even Roy, Billy, and Chris, are old enough to remember back when Stugatz really cared about sports. Back when he really cared about the doing of sports radio.
Do you think you broke him?
You absolutely, yeah, you did. You did break him.
No.
Yes, he did.
You think I'm the reason that right now, as we're on live, he's walking around a parking garage smoking cigarettes today? You think I'm the reason and not the Knicks?
No. I wouldn't say that you're the reason he's doing that. But I would say, and, you know, it's not time for legacy talk, but I would say, on your leg, or like part of your legacy, maybe on your like headstone, you know, not to get morbid here, but your tombstone, would be Dan taught us not to care about sports that much. And I feel like you kind of softened sports for a lot of people. We're like, I don't really care. Not that important. And I think you'd be proud of that. Maybe not.
As a legacy, I just don't understand why you're making it about me dying while he can't do the show because he's smoking.
Oh no, when you die, you're gonna outlive him by, you know, a good 20 years. I think we would agree on that, right?
Yeah.
This is taking weird turns.
Oh, he's outside the room now. Okay, now I see that he is out there. Good. So he is finished with what he was doing. I do want to get rebuttal from him on this. The person I was introducing you guys to is, I know that you guys think that he's always smoking cigarettes out there because he is, even though he says he's going to quit and he occasionally quits. But today of all days, I'm being reintroduced to my partner who I remember what he was when he cared about the Knicks most deeply. I don't know if I broke him, the show broke him, whether the Knicks broke him. I'm telling you that the guy who's missing the microphone, Stugatz doesn't miss the microphone on a day like today. On a day like today, he wants to be around the microphone. He was calling WIP during the break saying, Philadelphia is just as good today. I want to see if I can work over there. I want to see who's got a job over there because it's just as good in Philadelphia today.
Called Howard Eskin?
Yeah, I don't know who he's calling.
Well, it's Spike Eskin now.
Okay. Oh, Spike Eskin.
I assure you he was calling someone because he misses that, but also his fandom is a burning ember. Like he Stugatz has squozen a whole lot of profit out of caring about his teams, and some of that has died over the years. Or you know, I'm going to put it another way.
Profits haven't.
I'm going to put it another way. You grow up and you care sometimes slightly less about sports than you used to because kids' problems arrived and you became an adult and you weren't a child forever. And your fandom dies a little bit there because life perspective arrives. But on days like today, Stugatz remembers what it was like to be young. Even in the pain of it, he remembers what it felt like when New York was abuzz in the 90s and everyone was calling sports radio as it was growing to complain about X, Y, and Z because they cared so damn unreasonably about their team.
Even after a loss. I mean, this brings me back to a time, you know, where Charles Smith missed four bunnies at the end of a game to cost the Knicks, the Reggie Miller game, the time when we realized Linsanity, Jeremy Lin, wasn't that good. I mean, there are a ton of moments throughout history that have gotten me excited. I can't believe I'm saying a loss has done that to me. A loss has done more for me than a win. I'm serious. Like, losing is cathartic sometimes. And Dan, I was thinking about this because you will outlive me. But I was thinking about this as you guys were talking about it. I started smoking when we stopped taking calls. Calls were my cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
I need them.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we're going to have to fix that, aren't we? We should do a campaign of Stugatz getting healthier because calls are his medicine. Oh. It's how he wants to do it, and one of the reasons that he does it, and this is the great secret of sports radio that I can't believe they built an empire of profit off of. In no other industry are the people so lazy that they outsource the entertainment to somebody driving around on the streets on a phone. Nowhere is it that low a bar.
But Vinny and Yonkers, you've never heard him. I mean,
but he'll carry you for an afternoon.
He'll carry you for a day.
You'll parasail through the sky with Vinny from Yonkers just profiting off his rage.
Sometimes the person you're listening to call in is the same person you're listening to on your podcast, and that's why Ryan Cortez is such a special talent.
Yeah. I mean, Joe on a car phone is Joe Beningo. He got a job. He parlayed his calls into a job at WFAN.
This is part of the reason. Can you get for me, please?
I miss a car phone?
Vinny on a mobile. You're on WFAT. I really do think we need to do a segment where Stugatz takes calls today.
I think Chris just learned that there were car phones
inside the car. Like, it was connected with a cord.
Yeah.
You'd pick it up and there'd be...
And then you had to connect the cord to, like, the phone line so you could only go so far.
Yeah.
What year was this?
Yeah. It was crazy times.
You don't watch Columbo reruns and
imagine
shows.
The knots.
This is how old Stugatz is. Stugatz is remembering, and I'm remembering, how old we are, the time where it was innovative to say, as if you were at the height of technology and entertainment. Vinny on a car phone. This is such an important thing. It's coming from a car.
He can't wait until he gets home.
We are going out in the field. We're not in a studio. No, sir. When we outsource our lazy material to Vinny, no. He's calling us on a car phone because this opinion has to get in here in a hurry. He can't wait until he gets home to call from a landline.
And he can't do it from work.
Was the white Bronco chase, was OJ on a car phone while the police were trying to talk,
I believe
him,
so,
talk him into turning himself in?
Yeah.
Or was it just, it had to have been a car phone, right? It was like 94.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk on WFAT about food. We need to talk about food. I want to turn WFAT into a sports and food station led by Stugatz and his need to get callers from Yonkers.
Well, no food, I mean.
Food. WFAT should talk about food because the Mets and their hot dogs. The Mets, I didn't think earlier in the season when the Mets had no fans at the game and Darling and Cohen were talking about this is rock bottom for the Mets. I couldn't believe the number you guys said to me on hot dogs sold. What was this promotion?
It was Dollar Dog Night at the Mets game last night, yeah. Mm.
Dan, we've all heard of Mike Crack, but have you heard of Seymour Wiener?
I have not.
Seymour Wiener is, he's on the screen right now, a legendary Mets fan who was honored on opening day. He's, I believe, a military veteran, 96 years old, lifelong Mets fan. And somehow Seymour Wiener became a internet sensation, I believe because his name is Seymour Wiener. And this led into a Mets promotion for Dollar Dog Night in which Mets fans went to Citi Field, purchased over 44,000 hot dogs.
Wow.
So, I mean, $45,000 spent on hot dogs, if I'm doing the math correctly there, Dan.
44,269 times one? Yeah, 44,269.
That's some quick math.
Yeah.
Plus taxes.
It's just...
No tax.
And people were going crazy for the dollar dogs. There was this guy on the subway with a shirt that had a tally of how many dollar dogs he had eaten. I believe you could only buy four at one time. So they were limiting... This was in the New York Post today. This guy with the tallies for how many beers and how many dollar dogs... And biggest Mets win of the year, I think.
What are you laughing about, Billy?
Again, they show the tally.
Bad day to be a glizzy is what his shirt said.
I hate that place.
So the moral of the story is...
Same moral.
People will go crazy if you just charge a reasonable amount for a not that fancy article of food.
Jeremy, go sit in the penalty box.
Mm.
I'm gonna.
No, it wasn't. It was not a good one.
I get out of here for that joke. I have been alarmed. I legitimately feel wherever it is that people correctly accuse me of being out of touch. I legitimately feel for people all over our country, Stugatz, who are simply hurting because of how bad inflation is getting. I cannot believe how much things cost, so that when you tell me a dollar hot dog, hell yeah, dollar hot dog, because everything costs $8 now. You cannot buy, you can't buy. If you look toward where it is Americans are unhappy today, you don't have to go a lot farther than deeply in there. If prices keep getting crazy into a place where food is this, that a dollar hot dog is absolutely a bargain. I would love to go somewhere and be someone, if I am struggling in any way, who can go get 10 hot dogs for $10.
There's a taco shop near my house that offers on Tuesdays two tacos and a drink for $6.
Wow.
The line is around the block.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's crazy.
I'm getting a free Whopper Jr. today because the Marlins won at home.
Oh, what a win that was.
Wow.
Oh.
Is that seven on the season?
That's seven wins on the season. Their third win at home. Road Warriors, nice. The Marlins.
Sneaky good night last night for South Florida fans. The Marlins winning in extra innings.
Yep.
Boston Bruins lose, make that series go longer. The Knicks were in pain. Mm-hmm. A great night for the Heat and Panthers not playing.
You'll have your pain tonight.
The Marlins headed into the ninth down five and then scored five runs in the ninth, went into extras, gave up a run immediately, and then scored two runs walk-off.
Is that a promotion they do every night?
Every time the Marlins win a home game the next day at Burger King, free Whopper Jr.
And BK is just like,
I mean, BK is
right
winning
there.
That promotion.
Do you think they're tanking the Marlins season so they don't have to give out free Whopper Juniors?
Burger King has given out this whole season. I called and did some original reporting on this. 11 free Whopper Juniors throughout South Florida.
They've all been at Billy's.
I got
Burger.
Two of them.
It's going to be 12 today.
After the first one, I went with my phone and my wife's phone, two orders, two free Whopper Juniors. Oh, beat the system.
Excuse me, sir, you're back again.
Billy.
They looked at me because I'm like, I'm picking up two mobile orders, please. And like, two?
Billy.
Like, yep. This, bam.
This is what
two
I,
phones.
Billy, this is what I'm telling you. If WFAT knew anything about how to promote, you would be out there as the defeated Marlins fan, and you would be announcing yourself as the Burger King, the only person who bought or got any of those burgers because he both went to the game and then went to a nearby Burger King.
You don't
King.
Even have to go to the game. Anyone can get it. I was worried about it. No, anyone can get it. Yeah, anyone in Miami can get it. Just go and you sign on to the app, whatever. You get a free Whopper Jr. I was worried about what this would do to my cholesterol. Hasn't been an issue so far.
You've only had 11. Stu, Seymour Wiener, any relation?
No, but I wish he was. I mean, I would like that to be my great-grandfather.
You should be WFAT's Seymour Wiener, the program director for WFAT.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan, and as you know, you're probably a sports fan. You know it's playoff time, and you probably have a team that you want to root on, and maybe you're like me and you're not a season ticket holder, so you miss the first crack at getting tickets, so what do? You check the secondary market. Well, let me tell you about my best friend in that secondary market, because I've tried them all, and no one's as good as Game Time, the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You get to see the view from your seat on your phone before you buy the tickets. All-in pricing shows your total cost up front, so there are no surprises. Buy tickets in seconds with just two taps. I'm telling you, folks, this is a personal endorsement from me. I was using Game Time long before they joined us, and I'm so happy they're with us so I can preach the good word. Trust me, folks. Game Time. That is what you need. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
We were talking to and about Freddie Gibbs. And then Greg Cody made an appearance, and Chris Cody made an appearance, and we were talking about the possibility of Freddie Gibbs having the rap album of the year, at which point Chris Cody, who is too young for this and doesn't know, like, athletes from the 90s,
right.
Chris Cody,
you okay?
Says, is that one of, is that Barry Gibbs? Is he, and so then the BGs start playing.
Stugats.
Well said.
A little bit of a struggle. A little bit rusty here.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
As I mentioned before, I will continue to mention, I am 55 years old. I have aged out of having opinions on hip-hop beef. I don't need to be giving them to anybody. I just like that J. Cole kind of said, hey, I'm grown up, I'm different, I don't want to do this. Everyone else took it as he's afraid of the fight. I was like, oh, there's a man growing up and willing to do something different with the form.
He matured.
Well, no, but then everyone got really mad, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to bring on a legitimate expert here to learn about it more than talk about it. So Peter Rosenberg, before we get started, for the uninitiated, because he's hosted for a long time in New York, both sports, and he knows everything happening at, when he does Ebro in the morning on Hot 97, he's been doing music talk for a long time. So can you just tell people, Peter, for the uninitiated, your credentials as humbly as you can?
Oh, okay. As humbly as I can. The credentials would be, I've been on Hot 97 as a DJ and a host for the last 17 years now. Yeah, 2007. I'm regarded as one of the most well-known early Kendrick Lamar sort of proponents. I'll start the conversation with that. I am known as that guy. Sort of decided pretty early on he was going to be that dude. I have a Sunday night show where I break music, so I started breaking his music back then. But I've known Drake since the very beginning of his career as well. I'm probably too old to be commenting also, and I'm sure Twitter would tell you that I'm too many things to not be commenting on this. But I am into it. I have gotten dragged in every morning and has certainly been the topic of conversation.
And so I want to get your expertise here because you're saying you're biased on Kendrick, but it's because he's such a thorough artist and writer, right? You're admiring, more than anything, what you're admiring is that he's the most clever.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. Yes, I do think Kendrick's the most clever and lyrical and interesting vocally, etc. I think Drake is great. I mean, I think Drake's a great pop rapper, and I don't mean that as a slight, and a great rapper, period. Like, I enjoy Drake's music. I think the reason I end up being biased towards Kendrick is probably what kind of ends up dividing a lot of people on this, which is that Kendrick has made a concerted effort to be the dude who talks about things that matter. He's been doing that for a very long time, and he's done really well doing it. But he's not going to be on the radio all day, every day, because he doesn't make records like that. So I do get a little bit frustrated when a Drake will come along and not only want to be the biggest pop star, but then also expect to be considered like the number one rapper when I don't know that he tries to even check all those boxes. Kendrick cares about those boxes. He's influenced by the Public Enemies, the Chuck D's, the Ice Cubes. Everything, the Eminems, the Andre 3000s, there's a pedigree to Kendrick, and he cares about it, and it stands out in moments like yesterday's.
Cares too much, some would argue, because 19 minutes is what you got, and it's because he insists on making a tapestry. Everybody wanted him to do it earlier, and he's like, no, I'm going to do it like this because I care about the history of what all of this is, and now people are making fun of him for producing 19 minutes of caring there that was too much. Where are you on the internet discourse on this, on people taking sides? You're biased, but what do you find interesting about what's happening around the beef?
Well, two things. One, the thing that we got handed yesterday was 6.5 minutes. They say there's 19. We got 6.5, which is still, I mean, that's still longer. Let me go back to our era. It's still longer than Triumph, which had every member of Wu-Tang rapping on it. It's a long song, no matter how you call it. But I would say in the discourse, I'm firmly in the Kendrick bodied that. I don't, if you don't think he did, you just don't know enough about rap to have the conversation, or you don't listen hard enough. But I'm also not in the mindset that Drake hasn't been good and entertaining as well. I think Drake's in an interesting spot right now, because I think if Drake even produces something that makes people like go, wow, oh, he really got in there, I think Drake can win with a tie. That is what I think. I think Drake, if he puts up something close, I think can get a win. But listen, Dan, Stu, we're living in an era where the loudest voices are Twitch streamers who have been listening to rap for 6 years. I mean, so Drake is going to get told that he won no matter what, because Drake is friends. He's in the DMs and talking to all the Twitch streamers. Everyone knows him. Everyone wants to go to the parties. Everyone wants to be around the women. He's going to win in that court of public opinion. It's going to come down to what the hip hop heads say. And I think that's still pretty split as well. But I'm firmly on that in this moment, I'd say it was a 10-9 round for Kendrick.
But you're doing something here too, is you're more than just biased. When you say hip hop heads, you're also bringing in all the activism, and you're admiring Kendrick Lamar because of how thoroughly he respects the art and history of what this is. He won't do pop. And once you're viewing it through those eyes, I don't know that there's a way that he can lose for you.
Well, that's a totally fair point. I'll say this though. When I saw it was 6.5 minutes, I was like, I'm not sure. And I'll even say this. This whole thing really got going when Kendrick did a guest verse with Future and Metro Boomin on a song called Like That. And I did not rave about Kendrick's verse. Everyone was going like, oh my God. He said, mother F the big three, it's just big me. I was like, I don't think that's that great a bar. Like, I really wasn't over the moon. So I am trying to be critical. I just think this song was that dope. But you're right. There is a bias built in there because of the way that he cares. The way that he would fumble it would have been if he really did release the 19 minutes. That would have been a fumble. If he had dropped a 19-minute song, to me, that would have been a big mistake. Now it'll be interesting to see whether A, Drake comes back, which I'm sure he will, and then if Kendrick responds again. That's where we've seen in history artists make the mistake. Like, Jay and Nas went back and forth, and everyone loved Ether and Takeover. But then when Jay did Super Ugly, that's when everyone was like, nah, you're trying too hard. So there are still rooms for Kendrick to make a mistake. I just don't think he will. I don't think it's how he operates.
Can you explain to us the details of the beef, the reported truths, and just the history of it?
I'll do the best I can. I mean, listen, I'm also in my 40s, Dan. I'm trying to figure it out as best I can. Because these days, the move is the records come out, and these kids then get on the internet and do research for, like, weeks. We had to, like, wait back in the day to, like, wait for the next Source magazine to come in the month, in a month to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot there. But I think it's multi-tier. I think there's a lot of inside baseball to it, which Kendrick alludes to on this song. And then there's the sort of more obvious stuff, which is Drake not feeling accepted as the lyricist. Kendrick maybe feeling a little bit as the outsider because he's not a pop star. And then these weird relationship things that have happened. I mean, you can't forget Drake took Kendrick on tour. That is a thing that happened. Kendrick's first big tour was opening for Drake. They did the song Poetic Justice together. There was like a real thing between the two of them. And then over time, things happened, much of which we don't really know about. And it's kind of coming out on these records. Kendrick implies in Euphoria that Drake had tried to get him on the song First Person Shooter with J. Cole, and he turned him down. So there's these little inside baseball back and forth that I'm not going to lie to you. I only know about now from listening to the songs and breaking them down as well. But I think this is a broader conversation about what these two dudes stand for. I think Kendrick Lamar's biggest beef with Drake is you have the biggest platform imaginable and you don't do anything with it. I really think that's what it comes down to. And people will get into a lot of the stuff on the record about colorism and Kendrick saying, you saying the N-word is cringeworthy and all of these things that play into race, Americans, Canadians, all these different things. It's all interesting. I think it's all really about Kendrick is like, I'm a guy who chooses to make my platform about something. You choose to make party records and records for girls to dance to who are way too young for to even be dancing to your records. I think that's kind of where this thing really comes down to.
Oh, but Peter, if you're talking about there, right, as artists, then you're saying that Kendrick disdains the entirety of Drake's essence because he doesn't stand for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, people will say me saying that, like, Kendrick has never told me, I hate Drake. I've never had a conversation with him about Drake in that regard, with him or his team. But if you listen to what he says and you watch how he chooses to operate and you hear the things that he says on Euphoria and you go back and listen to Kendrick's last album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, you're looking at someone who has chosen. This is a guy who won the first Pulitzer Prize in hip hop. This is a guy who's chosen to take this thing to different places. Yeah, I think he has a real disdain, as he says on this record, for someone who he probably believes is talented, but thinks doesn't choose to do anything special. Like, he believes that Drake is all about fame and having a big plane and having tons of money. And I think it'll be hard for Drake to argue that he's not about those things. And by the way, those things are popular. People love hearing about those things. But I think for someone like Kendrick Lamar, who came up on the things that he came up in and makes the kind of music that he makes, yeah, I think disdain is probably a fair word.
Oh, but when I talk about disdain from the great Stugatz, I'm talking about Jim Brown, okay? He hated that Michael Jordan and O.J. Simpson never said anything about anything because he was working so hard on his activism. And he pointed out that Muhammad Ali didn't go from the most hated athlete to the most beloved athlete in America until he lost his ability to speak. What Kendrick Lamar does, the way that he does it, Drake must offend him. Like, just, even if he's spiritual, even if he's trying to be forgiving, even if he's trying not to be judgmental of others, that you would take hip-hop's platform and only do the things that get you money and women and cars and the things, that would be deeply offensive to Kendrick Lamar, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, just to make a comp to our world, and maybe I'm speaking out of school, you can sort of relate to it. I mean, you guys literally do smart sports radio. Now, it has turned into a really lucrative business, and it's worked out great. But there have been many times when you could go be the blowhard on the radio who you guys enjoy making fun of, and you've chosen not to do it. And it made your path a little bit longer. And I'm sure there have been moments and certain personalities in our industry that you kind of have a disdain for what they do because they don't really go about it in a way with integrity. And I think that's the Kendrick Lamar story.
I'm good with it. But speaking of sports radio, listen, okay? Some advice for you, for Michael Kay, for Don LaGreca. Today is not a day for you guys to talk, okay? Give out the phone number. Take 4 hours of calls. Let Sal in Brooklyn do the work for you. You hear me?
By the way, listen, I take that very seriously as the guy who was rumored to be the program director of our competition very recently.
Well, thank you. And if you guys are hiring, let me know.
Well, okay? Hold on. Like, would you please give Peter Rosenberg, I'd like for him to get whatever it is the speech would have been if you'd been in that town running that market with program director meetings. You tell Rosenberg how to do his job. Rosenberg, I'm going to need you to, I know you're a veteran, but you're going to need to accept some instruction here.
Done.
I tell Don LaGreca, no rants, don't say a word. I tell Michael Kay, no rants, don't say a word. I tell Peter Rosenberg, no rants, don't say a word. I name everyone else on the lineup, but I don't know anyone else on the lineup. Dave Rothenberg, no rants, don't say a word. Let the callers do the work for you. Today is one of those special days in New York where you don't have to do your job. You can let the callers do the job for you. It's a special day. We haven't had one of these in a while. Let them cook. You guys sit back, enjoy, and take a 20 share. How about that?
You know what? Beautifully said. And by the way, what is there to say after that last night? You have to leave that to the fans.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
That's good analysis. It's good analysis.
Well, it's what he should do.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. He was right to stop talking.
I was practicing. I was trying to do what Stu's saying I should do.
Because I know LaGreca thinks it's all about him today. And I'm telling you, today it's not.
LaGreca.
If he wants FAN to get 25 LaGreca. Shares, they
it's
will. LaGreca, shut your mouth
it's
today.
It's not about you today, LaGreca.
Yes.
It's not about you.
I think you got. You're taunting for another Don rant by just even saying this. That's what you're doing.
See you later, Peter. Thank you.
Guys, take care.
See you, man.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.